Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us life and for eternal life through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And thank you for giving us life in this place and at this time. I hope that your Thanksgiving Day, a day that we can and ought to give thanks to our God for the numerous blessings that He has provided us with. Thank you, Lord. I know that many of us have given much thanks already. I know that many of us get all caught up in the rush of that day and all the things that we have to do, all the places we have to go. There's a lot to get ready for. It's especially busy if you have young children. I remember those days fondly. And I recognize how we often don't recognize the many blessings we have until they're gone. And I mean like children and such, but that they're around, they're young, joyful, and they take watchful attention too. So it's such a human quality that we don't appreciate what we have fully. And that's just the way it seems to go. Time just marches on, and what happens? All the things in life. People go to hospitals, for instance, sometimes to get repaired and sometimes to pass. And we are grateful that we're able to spend as much time with decent people as we can and people who we love. And we get to be with people now and in the next life. Love is so very important part of life, and it's a good thing to dwell on. Love, and yes, love your neighbor, of course, and love God with the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Love your neighbor. Yes, think of that. And I remember that time when my wife and I were not getting along. It was my mom, interestingly enough. She said, well, you know how moms and other people who love you often can see things that you don't recognize you're showing. And so there she was. She could recognize that there was something going on, and we were talking about Christ and Christianity. So what does she say? She says, and what are the two great commandments? And I tell her, love the Lord with the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then she asked, who's your nearest neighbor? And I'm thinking about who lives near me. And she exclaims, your wife! Oh, she got me on that one. I got convicted right away on that, and that was many years ago, but I still remember that little lesson with a big smile. It's funny all the things we learn, the things we go through, So I needed, at that time, I needed to actually take the actions. Even though I didn't feel like doing anything, I needed to take the actions that were showing love. And that's what love is about. It's about showing it. Not necessarily the feeling, but to show it. So this is a kind of a small example of how we're to be obedient to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Even if we don't recognize it at the moment, we are to consider how we are being obedient to God. As we go through these things, we get to see that His way, God's way, is absolutely the best way that there can be. Have you noticed that there are good and wonderful effects of being obedient to God? Oh, yes. And so try to be obedient to God and watch the wonderful effects take place in your life when you are obedient to God. And probably none of us do that perfectly, but isn't it important that we take all the steps that we know how to do? I know the times that I have used Ephesians 6, and I think about praying always and with all things. Let me tell you what happened to me a few days ago, just a couple. The background is, I went to quite some effort to get some baby chicks that I wanted to try raising. They were a different breed than is normal. So I got them 3 months ago, and since that time I have been very careful in raising them. And they've been outside in a cage for over a month now. It's a temporary cage. And then what happened was there was a big gust of wind a few days ago, and it knocked that temporary cage over. And the next day, I found out that they were free. So I went and found 4 out of the 6 chicks. And I looked around, but I only found 4. So I went inside sad, thinking something had happened to them. Maybe a dog ate them. Maybe a cat had eaten them. I just didn't know where they could be. So it took me just a little while to think, as well as to be sad. And I thought of that Ephesians 6, and that in all things we are to pray and to give thanks to God. So I knew that was true, and I prayed, and I thought, well, what's the next step after you pray? You go outside to look, and that's what I did. And surprise, surprise, I found my 2 missing chicks caught up in a tangle. What a surprise. But I gave thanks to God, and that's an example of how things happen and our prayers are heard. And so we do pray according to God's will in all matters, but we give thanks, and we are certainly happy to have all the blessings that we do have. We give thanks to God for the blessings. So that was my little story. And now Thanksgiving time of year. Yes, here we are. And and Christmas is coming up too. We have all sorts of expectations of people around us, of family, of how people are supposed to act. And way too often there is a certain lack of thankfulness. There's a certain lack of appreciation. It's just gotten to be too common that we expect that kind of a response. But sometimes I wonder about what would it take for God to stop providing our many parts of abundance for this nation. And personally, we have so much abundance. So what, for instance, would it take? I just wonder. You know, we have abundance of food, of material goods, of security. So would God ever allow the circumstances and the situation to change? to be so an amazingly difficult situation that we would suddenly have a relationship with God and ask Him, Lord, can we have some stability and some blessings? Well, you look back at times in history when there have been troubles, and that has been a time when people return to God, to talk to God, to pray, to give thanks, to ask for mercy, and to pray for this nation and themselves personally. So, can you see that we are not, as a country, living according to God's righteousness? So, what would it take for Him to let the things take their natural course? I don't know, but I know we should be thankful for God's mercy. Remember that the preparedness part is a part of so many people think about the preparedness part. It's a national concern, and many people have it. So when we have a good times, like now, when resources are plentiful, food is plentiful, that is the time to think about it, to make a plan and to do it. There have been many, many agencies in the United States who have very much promoted the idea of preparation. This has been going on in the last years. And one United States agency has even said to expect food prices to increase by 3 times today's cost in the next few years. Well, how can they say that? I don't know, but I wonder. And we can see the direction that food prices are going. The United States Food Department says that the price of food has increased 17% since 2016. That's not long. And relative, 17% is a lot. And so, yes, if there ever were to be a real food shortage, you can only guess how high the food prices would climb. In the past history, when there have been food shortages, food prices did increase. They would increase by 3 times or by 10 times or more. That's a historical fact. And so if you now spend $330 per month on groceries, a 3-time increase would bring that amount to $1,000 a month. And just because this is expected, it doesn't mean it'll happen, but there are people who study these matters, and sure, they don't know the future, but they know the trend, and they know history. And so in history, food shortages have happened, and it's not unusual in other countries where millions of people have died. Yes, I said millions. We just haven't had that in our country. But, yeah, tens of millions of people. So if that were to be the direction that we were to be concerned with, what would happen? We'd have violence and riots everywhere if we had such terrible food shortages. So I kind of think that if you had food, you would be targeted for your food. And what would the mentality of those thieves be? Yeah, get your food, get your cans, get your frozen goods. And I don't think that they would be so anxious to get the grains, the oil, the sugar, and those basic things like spices. No, they would go after the easy things. But you just might take special consideration of your water filter and your grain grinder, because those certain items are hard to replace and easy to identify. So now, when times are good, you know that there are only a few people who were motivated to actually take the steps to prepare. It's just the way we are. We just don't prepare too much. But when shortages occur, well, then it's too late to have the same advantage that you would have of the normal prices. So have a look. Figure it out. Take some steps. Make a plan. A little bit here and a little bit there over a few years is a really good idea. And we would all be in a position where we would have less if we didn't not have the plan to take steps. A little bit here and a little bit there. Sure, every one of us, me too. So start your preparations today and get your food and your water and those basic things that you need. And just maybe get something for the people around you too. Maybe even your children. Sure, your children need help, always. Your adult children. But people also, be aware that people, when what they have does not fit an immediate need, well, what they have is less than appreciated, and sometimes they dispose of it. So I don't have a real answer, but I know I find value in having those things that we will always use. Food will always get used. And I also know that if we don't try to do something, it's very unusual if anything gets done. So try a little and get a little done. Clearly, you can see that these topics either are important or can be terrifically important. So look into it. I think that these are things that we feel in our hearts, we feel in our minds, and I think it's a God thing. I think He's telling many people to get ready. So, how many people today are doing it? That's an interesting question. But more and more are, that's for sure. So I think of how can my time be best spent, or my money, for instance. I think of, yes, I could spend money on my food, but I think I'm doing the best thing I can by talking to people about it. This radio show is communicating with so many people, and I think that's the best way of spending my time and resources. Many people are reached, and many concerns are addressed. I've had a lot of experiences in life, and so many things are good to talk about, and some of them will motivate people here, and other ones will motivate people there. All different for everybody. But I think it's important to have discussions about this, because you never know what's going to motivate one person and what's going to motivate another. So I do try to keep the broadcast moving right along and keep it interesting for people. And I hope that everyone finds something of interest in it. And I do know that everybody finds different things interesting. So I do like to tell you about my experiences now and then. Mostly. I could tell you about my experience of setting bones, broken bones. I think I'll skip that. But there are things that have just happened in life, and what happens when there's no public restrooms in wherever you are, or a country, or whatever it is. Or what about desert camping? I've had various experiences which have showed me how good it is to be prepared, and certainly have gotten my vehicle stuck and unstuck so many times. But it's up to each one of us to understand what it is that we could be facing. What kind of a situation would we see as a problem in front of us? So identify this, and that will tell you what you would like to prepare for. That's the basics. Look and see, and then do. Hey, I just thought about that desert camping trip, one of them, and I'm afraid of spiders. Well, anyway, I really don't like them. And so about 20 years ago, my wife and I were camping on some big desert area in Arizona. And oh my, look, she found some tarantulas. Ha! Oh, she got one to cling to the end of a stick. It was like a 3.5-foot stick. And then she asked me to hold the stick, and I did. And here I was, responsible John, was asked to hold this stick. So I didn't want to put it down, even though I was in an internal panic because that tarantula spider was walking up the stick. And by the time it was halfway up the stick, oh, I was in a panic. It was frightful. And that tarantula kept climbing, and it was almost to the 3/4 way up before I ever so quickly let that stick go. Ha! One of my little stories. I still feel the anxiety of that today. Ha! Yeah. So I've had all sorts of life experiences, and pretty much they've all been safe. And a whole lot of that has to do with planning things and to be anticipating the different needs. And like I've said before, as a community, we each think of different things to plan for and to be available for having our preparations for. So we do better as a community. Each one of us has valuable experiences, and every one of us has had different life experiences. And some people have been active and have done lots and lots of things. Other people have had a life experience where they've been stable and not gone places. But they have a lot to share too. It's just different. All experience is valuable. And for instance, a person who was doing a lot of waiting, they could be talking about what they learned when they were waiting. What were the thoughts? What were the concerns? And what did you have to overcome? Were there fears involved? And how did you deal with the many feelings that were going on? Or was there another person with you? And did you provide comfort and hope for the situation? Was there a victim there? And did the victim get worse? Or if they did, what would you have done? Did you have the paper and pencil that you needed? Did you have any medicine along? Did you have alternative plans that you were thinking of? All these things are important and good to have a little forethought with. Just a few questions. These were just a few questions to ask. But a good medical checklist would have asked many more questions. And how concerned are you about medical? Well, everybody has a different degree of concerns, and they're about different things, and like I said, rightfully so. But if you're concerned about medical, do you have advanced first aid training? Do you have or should you get EMT training? That's emergency medical training. Well, it's all valuable, but what is important to you? Is it important? Then take the steps that you need to take. Yes, take steps that you need to take, and that's a part of the preparedness thing. Is you identify what you need to do, and then you take the steps. Now, it certainly is one of those things where everybody needs a little motivation, and I did too. But with the many years of things I've done, I guess it came a little more natural to me. But we don't want to go out of the way. We don't want to think that our grocery stores won't have food or that the hardware stores won't have what we need. But I've told you in the past, I have gone to these stores and they've been out of materials, out of stuff. And it just takes them a while to get it back in. Maybe next week, they say. Come back next week, and they say, well, maybe next week. So all of a sudden, you want something that's pretty basic, and it's 3 weeks before it's resupplied. Well, no answers here. It's just something for you to consider. The medical is something we all need to look at a little bit. there's just, if you don't get anything else, get medical tape, triple antibiotic ointment, and gauze pads. Those are just what you need. And you need a lot of it. So just beyond that, there's so many things, but you only get what you need, or what you know how to use, I should say, because you never know what your need is. But as you go through and you see things, you have to remember that all bites are serious. That's one thing. Because mouth bacteria is very serious, whether it's from a dog or a mouse or even a tarantula. Yeah, all bites are serious. And if you aren't going to take the classes, then at least get the books. Get a few books to have around, both basic and advanced first aid. Because if you can't be prepared with what you have practiced and what you know, at least have the information available. And that's the great thing about medical books. There's lots of them available. Everyone helps. Every book that you have says, addresses something a little bit different. So get them. Get a few books. One good one would be on advanced wilderness first aid. And I say wilderness first aid because that's what they look at when you don't have what you need. And they look at what you can use. Instead of just saying, this is a bad injury, take the person to the doctor. Well, if that's not available, you have to do something else. So another book that you can always consider getting is whatever they use about military treatments for field trauma. A field trauma, I don't know what they call it, but it would be for medical field trauma wounds. So those are just the kind of things. So there's the two basics. And whatever you're doing, you must take plenty of notes about what happened, where it happened, when it happened, and the changes that you see, or the actions that you take. And even if you're driving, the thing is you need those same written notes for where you were and where you're going and the time of days that things are happening for just your experience of going here and there. Or, of course, for the medical emergency, you need to record what has happened and when things happened so that you have a record of swelling, for instance, or infection, and how far it's traveled, and that'll give you a pretty good idea of the urgency of the situation that you're dealing with. So have plenty of paper and pencil to write these notes down. That's another thing. We think about the first aid, but we often forget to have paper and pencil in our first aid kits. That's just so important. You have to take those notes. And remember how quickly supplies get used up. If there's a big issue, your first aid supplies will get used up very, very fast. Sometimes your medical equipment will get lost or broken. So you just kind of anticipate those things, and so you have extras, you have a lot of what you just might need, and another part is burns. Burns are often painful, so you want to have burn ointment for burns. People often enough overlook a good burn ointment. So, on the question of medical-related treatments and items, the subject is just huge. But look over the question and see how you want to handle a difficult situation. Yeah, they're all different. There's lots of questions. There's lots of answers. And somehow, you are the only one that can have the answer to those questions. Because you can see what a situation might be. But if you never look, and you never ask the questions, you will never see the answers that you want to see. So look, look now while you have an opportunity. And then do something when it's easy. Even if you do the easy steps. Yeah, take some steps for that medical situation, for the just in case. And you do want to make things better for a person and not worse. So you consider that. I think always, always you can focus on giving hope and giving comfort and showing hope. Give comfort and show hope. That is one of the fundamentals towards giving care or medical aid. It's always something important. And then, yeah, don't forget your medical notes. And if you have one patient or 10, either way, take those medical notes. Yes, it takes time, but you need to have that information available. For the few times that you don't have medical help available. Oh, and I'm not a medical anything. I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but I know I've had to deal with situations where there was no one else available. There was no doctor available. So all I had to do was deal with it. It's not that I wanted to, but if it wasn't me, it would hurt a lot. So you're dealing with the just in case. My ideas are not necessarily good to follow, but they are intended to get you to think. For that just in case. What if you're in that remote area and something happens? Have a few handy things. So, I encourage you to study on your own and to be cautious about every medical decision you make. And it's, you know, for the just-in-case situation where there is a doctor, I mean, where there is not a doctor available. So just keep thinking, keep doing things. Show thyself approved. Where did that come up from? Well, it's a Bible verse I've quoted a couple of times. So see how it applies. I know I listen to the radio and I hear things and it makes me think. Sometimes I just get thoughts coming in here and there. But study to show thyself approved is not the end of the verse. It's unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And so all through life, what do we deal with? We deal with our relationship with God and our relationship with man. And our relationship with God is good and pure. And sometimes our relationship with man is, well, it's a little bit of all of it. And some of it, it's pretty tough. It's pretty difficult. And we go through hard times and we go through being misled, wrong information. And yet that's a part of life. Oh, we all deal with it. It's tough sometimes. But there we are. We get to deal with it. Now here these days, there's a lot of things going on before us, and there are people who see, conspiracies. They see conspiracies, and I have to say that I recognize a few myself and wonder after them. And why not? Because we do have a conspiracy all throughout time. It's a conspiracy to become as God. Satan, that's what Satan wants. And also to dominate mankind and to make us hurt. Speaking of conspiracy, we've got that John F. Kennedy assassination files. You know, so many of them have been released. I don't know, but I'd guess 90% have been released. But most of them have a lot of them, the pages redacted, which means blacked out, so that we don't know. So you might think that all the pages are released, and in a way that's true, but there's still 90%, there's still a lot of each of those pages that have blacked out portions. so that even though it's 50 years later, we still cannot see the blacked out portions. Why? Is there secrets? Is there a conspiracy? Well, I just think we just might have stuff going on that would surprise us if we really knew. And I'm not a person who has the answers. I just have the questions, and I can see that, well, there's questions. So, let's think about something else. Next subject, let me go over quantum computers a little bit. Yeah, that's a change, isn't it? And CERN. Quantum computers and CERN. So many people don't yet know what quantum computers are. And most people don't think of CERN either. That's a European scientific project. Now, the quantum computers it started in North America by a North American company, and they keep developing and developing and developing rapidly. So, with CERN, there has been a widely acknowledged program which wants to open a gateway between our dimension and another dimension. And it sounds pretty suspicious to me. Sure, I know when you think of that, it's just very strange. And who can hear this, that there is such things going on, a battle between God and demons? It's all possible, because that's what the dimensions involve. This dimension and another dimension. And could this be the time for that opening in the between the dimensions? Well, I think it's okay to look at it, and I think it's okay to ask the questions. We can see the possibilities, or we could not see the possibilities. But whatever we do, sure, let's look, because what it means is so serious that I think we should just do a little bit of looking and see if maybe it is an issue. Maybe it is a concern. So I started off with that D-Wave quantum computer. D-Wave is the company, and quantum computer is the type of computer. Now, we are pretty familiar with a standard computer. A standard computer reads 2 characters at a time. But the D-Wave quantum computer reads 8 characters at a time. And that was 15 years ago. That's when they really had their first working model. And since that time, they have advanced and advanced ever so quickly. And so 8 characters at a time is what they generally call a qubit. And these quantum computers are measured in qubits. So when you remember that our standard computers read 2 characters at a time, but the quantum computers, they read 8 at a time. But their development has moved along so rapidly that they keep doubling that ability. For instance, in 2003, they had a computer that could read 1 qubit at a time. 2004, 2 qubits at a time. 2006, 4 qubits at a time. 2007, 16 qubits at a time. And the multiples continued. 2011, 128 qubits at a time. 2012, 442 qubits at a time. So you can see how they are multiplying their ability to read vast amounts of information. It is so much more advanced in capacity between the D-Wave quantum computers and our supercomputers, like a Cray model. It's just phenomenal. So these quantum supercomputers are able to go through much data at one time. They're able to analyze so much more volume than has ever been possible. And so that's what they're doing. They're crunching data or analyzing data. These computers, well, we don't really know who has how many, but we are told that these computers are being used at various facilities like the NSA. Yes, NSA. And also the NASA Ames Research Area and the big computer companies and CERN. So these advanced places are using these supercomputers. And they go through these supercomputers, or quantum computers, they go through so many computations per second that they are a key component to all the work that is being done at these various facilities, including CERN. But the basic work that CERN is doing is they are trying to collide particles together at the speed of light. And they've reached about 99% the speed of light. And what they're hoping to observe is what happens when they recreate, and that's their desire, they want to recreate the Big Bang in a contained laboratory situation. But can a Big Bang be contained? That is highly debated. But there are many governments, many physicists, many scientists from all over the world who are trying to recreate the Big Bang. They are at CERN trying to figure this out with their great big Hadron Collider. And guess what Stephen Hawking said? You know, some consider Stephen Hawking the wheelchair-bound man with a great mind. They consider him to be the preeminent theoretical physicist in the world. And just a few months ago, he warned that CERN should not be reopened. It was temporarily shut down, as they often do. They shut it down temporarily. But he warned against reopening because it could cause great danger to our planet. So there's what one person thinks. So there's lots of things that are going on. Yeah, another thing that happened just last year was that there were scientists who were working in CERN, and they observed paranormal phenomenon. And that means they saw spirits and demonic entities within the CERN project. Gets a little hard to believe, doesn't it? Well, yes, it does. But these things are real observations. And then you have, a year and a half ago, there was the science director of CERN. And he said that another goal of CERN was to open a portal between two different dimensions, which would allow two-way passage. Can you get that? Another goal of CERN was to open a portal between two different dimensions, which would allow two-way passage. Wow, that's just amazing. And the D-Wave quantum computer is making this possible because it has such a huge computing power, and it can examine possibilities and find out the correct relationships to energy and apply it. So there's various scientists and analysts who can see that this is a real possibility. They're both secular and Christian, and their concerns, they have concerns. So are we living in exciting times? Yes, we are living in exciting times, and we get to see things happen. Whether we like it or not, we're here. And people throughout history have wanted to see this time. We are privileged to be here now. And don't forget, we can do a great job of living for Jesus Christ in the coming days. We can do it! God would not have put us here at this time and at this place if we could not serve Him well here and now. So stay strong in the Lord. And keep your prayer life constant. I think that's a really big one. We just have to stay connected to the source, and the source is God. So we must be aware that there's lots of ungodly forces at work here too. And certainly they want to ensnare us. Those ungodly forces want to contain and control us. Well, it's a kind of interesting thing that every U.S. citizen is numbered, surveilled, and studied. Sure, they say it's for marketing, but if you're numbered, surveilled, and studied, it could be for anything. And I know a part of this progress into this position has been under the Patriot Act, which was set up, and then it was set to expire December 31st of 2017. And that's if Congress does not renew it. So, we don't know what'll happen. They probably will renew it. Or, it could also be that they would pass a new act. They're looking at passing something called the Liberty Act. To go from the Patriot Act to the Liberty Act. Interesting, huh? Well, it would have even greater abilities to capture and store our communications. And once this information is put into storage, then it can be accessed by a government agency without a warrant and without a court order. Well, just look at where this is headed. So we want to preserve everything that we can. We want our liberties to be preserved, even though they are in the process of being weakened. I know too often just the general American feeling is apathetic. We just don't care. Our bellies are full and our internet is connected, so we just don't seem to care about anything else. When was the last telephone call you made to your congressman, or letter you wrote, or made an effort to speak to somebody who's a representative of us? I urge you to do it. So, what would cause us to give up our liberties? Just like it did with 9/11, fear did. Fear will cause us to give up our liberties. And that's the thing we have to be concerned with all that is going on around us today. There is a concern about terrorism. There is a concern about the North Korean crisis. And yes, they could be problems, but I think the big thing is to recognize what these things are and deal with them, and not to expand the fear which they are presenting to us. We have to not live in fear. Do not live in fear. But we do have to still look at what our real concerns are about what's going on. Certainly, lots of things can go on. Do we know what it is? No, but we make good guesses, and then we take steps to protect ourselves as a nation. So There's lots of things going on around us. So much that we are sometimes we're concerned to even look at it because we know there's lots going on. And if we look too closely at things, we could be concerned that we're getting our time and our attention all tangled up. But the point is be aware and do something. So there is a lot going on. So much is going on that we don't seem to have enough time to deal with the simple things that are going on, or we don't have enough time to deal with our relationship with God. It's pretty serious. And our relationship with God is one area we don't want to fall short in. It certainly is. So, as I talk about these things, I do want you to recognize how important it is to have that right relationship with God, and also to prepare spiritually, which that is, and also to prepare physically, because we live in a physical world, and the physical things do make a difference. So, as I think about troubles coming, recognize that the examination of it is good. Preparations. Yeah, there's people who are preparing, and they think about it in terms of physical preparation. That's good, too. I know 20 years ago they talked about 2% of the United States population thought about preparing. And now, today, they talk about 10% of the United States population preparing. 10% is a whole lot better than 2%, but it sure is going to mean there's a lot of people who are unprepared. So, you just give that consideration, too. Take steps. Consider things. Now, the preparation certainly is physical, and so many of us first think about financial considerations, because, I don't know, that just seems to be the way we think about things, is getting prepared financially. And I remember a few months ago I said on this program, this broadcast, that I saw a great likelihood that there would be a downturn happening in our economy between 2 months and 2 years. So, between 2 months and 2 years, well, we're past the 2 month mark, and I still see there's lots of people talking about all sorts of business things happening. Businessmen I know are concerned. There's a lot of talk among all sorts of very large business people who deal with big money, and they are concerned. They are moving assets out of this country and into another set of asset situations. So, I see possibilities. 2018 could be a very uncertain year. There's so much going on. The events in 2017 have, in a way, not been so noticeable, but they do show the instability around us. It shows that there can be fluctuations. There has been indicators of financial risks that have not been looked at before to any great detail. So I think it's good for all of us to look to see what could happen and try to figure this out. Look at those cautions and then see if you need to be cautious. I know I certainly like that Christian financial counselor, Dave Ramsey. I like him very much. And he says just keep investing normally. And normally I'd say yes, indeed. But you have to ask that question, are these normal times or are these times going to be different, because there's so many circumstances that are they different or not? You get to look at that and you get to decide for yourself Does this mean it's a special time to look with special considerations? Everybody has their own ideas, and really, you are responsible for you, and you are responsible for taking care of those things which you have. Assets, children, property, all of it. So, think, plan, and do. But consider what's going on. Have a close look at it, because when things start to change, the change has in effect already occurred. And what you're dealing with then gets to be the situation that has been put already into movement. It's already been moved forward. And if we don't identify what that movement is, we get caught up and we don't have a chance to make the moves we wish we had made. So like I said, look at these things and decide for yourself what to do. I like that think, plan, and do. I think that's such an important part. Think, plan, and do. And now for another subject. I'm not used to asking for funds and help, and especially money, but I would ask that if anybody would like to help support this broadcast, I am certainly grateful to accept donations for that. So the broadcasting costs add up, and so does the cost for everything. Therefore, if you would like to make a donation, please, I would be grateful for it. And on the other hand, if you have regular monthly needs that you're just getting by with, or it would do something to your preparedness budget, then don't. I certainly would not want to take away from your monthly needs or your preparedness budget. But if you have some amount you can donate to continue this broadcast, I certainly would be grateful for it. Now, if you have a donation, or if you would like that free preparedness pamphlet, by all means, write me a note. Put a self-addressed stamped envelope in it, and that way I know the address is correct, because you wrote it. And so write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I want to thank you for listening today. I want to thank you for considering anything about the financials. And a big thank you for listening to Christ Today. I'm so glad that I have as many listeners as I do. It is gratifying to know that there's so many people who are concerned and listening to ideas. So thank you again for listening to Christ Today. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.